The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's the middle of July, July 15th. Monday afternoon, good and bad news about the weather. The monsoon, the summer rainy season, finally started at our house yesterday. So about a week later than normal. It's usually about the 4th of July or around that period. So we were a little bit late this year. Now the bad news, yes, the humidity is up and we have a heat advisory. It's supposed to be 108 this afternoon, so that can be kind of miserable with that humidity. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted Local News Talk. We have worldwide live listening on my website. That means if you're around a computer, you can hear my program anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. We also have all of our podcasts. We make it very easy for you 24/7 to check out buckmastershow.com, and the program you're seeking will be there for you. The live line number, if you'd like to join in our conversation, 790-2040. Each Monday afternoon, we've been doing this with the Monday Political Face-Off since we launched the radio project the first week of January in 2011. And of course, on TV, we did the Monday Political Face-Off forever. And one of the long time, I guess you could call him one of the legacy contributors to the Face-Off is Bruce Ash. He is seated to my right. Mr. Ash is in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And it's always a pleasure to welcome a new face, new voice to the Monday Political Face-Off. Allison Jones is here. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. I think you've been chair for about 6 months or longer?
Six to seven months.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Bruce, always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I haven't been on for a little while.
No, you've been off. You had some business, and then you were
traveling to see our kids.
And traveling and all sorts of stuff, like a lot of people do in the summer here in Tucson. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors. We've got two really nice, beautiful mirrors that they have done in our two bathrooms. Moe's team, really, they'll come out, take care of all the measurements for you. They've got great art in the gallery, and of course, picture framing is one of the staples, the iconic thing that they do, really, at Moe's. And of course, Moe will come out, do all the hanging if you would like that done. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. First of all, let's begin with the Pima County Republican Party is going to be filing a challenge, Allison Jones, to the Sanctuary City petition. The Republican Party here locally believes that the formulation to determine the minimum number of petition signatures required was calculated incorrectly and must be raised to a minimum of 12,400 versus the 9,241 originally required. Tucson Families Free and Together submitted approximately 18,000 signatures in early July. In addition, Pima County Republicans believe 40% of those signatures submitted are either invalid or fraudulent. How do the Pima County Democratic Party is on record in favor, is that correct, of Sanctuary City?
Yes, our executive committee did pass a resolution in support of the initiative. And I do have some late breaking news on that.
Sure.
That initiative.
We'd love to hear it.
The county recorder today verified that 71.75% of the signatures were valid.
Really?
Yes. So that means about 12,400. Mm. And the city had said that initially 9,241 were required. So even if the higher number that the GOP is proposing is correct, I think we have that.
Hmm. Bruce, you don't like this sanctuary city petition at all, do you?
I'm not sure a lot of Democratic office holders like it either. People who are running for city council and for the mayor's race certainly have their opinions on this and consider this as a problem if they are elected in the fall elections. There is little reason. There's a lack of premise for this being passed, and it's just another example how far left the Democratic Party is going. This kind of harkens back to the 60s and 70s. The People's Defense Initiative filed this initiative, and it just has some of the goofiest sort of provisions. There are no problems here. This is a solution in search of a problem.
What do you think about this this petition, Allison?
Well, it's true that the Democratic Party is not unanimous on this point.
Yeah, I don't think any of the council members are on board with this. Yeah.
Well, we are hearing different things
from folks
when they're off the record. And I have a feeling we're going to have people coming forward in support of it. And the reason is because sanctuary is really a safety issue. Forget the idea that protects gang members and rapists and traffickers. It does none of that. What sanctuary does is it makes it safe for people who are undocumented here to report when they are a victim of a crime or when they see a crime. And even our own police chief Magnus said in a New York Times editorial that sanctuary cities are documented as being safer. And then we also do want to stop these pretextual stops, which are simply based on racism. And we believe that has no place in modern America.
Aren't you concerned about a loss of state and federal funds if this were to pass?
Well, there are sanctuary cities all over the U.S., and so far that has not happened.
None in Arizona. This would be the first in Arizona.
That's true.
Bruce?
Well, I think the Democratic Party should be concerned about it with respect to state funds. And this is more of the same brinksmanship that City of Tucson has played on a repeated basis with the Arizona State Legislature. This is dangerous for Tucsonans, not just in terms of the possible problems that come as a result of a sanctuary city. And all due respect to Chief Magnus, who I think is a very good law enforcement officer. His information that he passed forward on the safety in so-called sanctuary cities just is incorrect. And there's if you talk to somebody who lives in Los Angeles or San Francisco or El Paso or Dallas or Chicago or New York City about whether or not things are safer because the locality or the state is a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state, you're going to find exactly the opposite of what Chief Magnus has had to say publicly for the New York Times.
Go ahead, Allison.
Well, you know, I have to just disagree. It just makes sense that when someone is not afraid of the police, they will be willing to be cooperative with them. And the facts are cities with fewer crime-fighting resources often experience increase in crime and may also have increases in crime victims where people are fearful of working with law enforcement. We know that's the case, and facts are a stubborn thing.
You're mixing metaphors, Allison, with all due respect. There are federal ICE officials who come in as they're currently doing, rounding up individuals who are here illegally and who have committed serious crimes here in this country, and others who are overstayers, to work against law enforcement properly following the laws of the United States of America is just wrong.
Well, let me be clear. We are not proposing that we protect people who are dangerous criminals even if
you
they're
can't
from
have
far
it both
away.
Ways, Allison.
Actually, we can, and we have in the past. Just being in this country without documentation has been treated as a civil offense in the past, not as a criminal offense.
Well, it's a criminal offense today. It's against the law.
It's been elevated as such, and as a result, we are victimizing people who are here to make a better life, and we need a comprehensive immigration reform instead of treating them as criminals. The really dangerous criminals, of course, we should deal with them that way.
All right, Vince has called us. Let's see if we can work Vince in. Did we lose Vince? There we go. Okay, go ahead, Vince.
Okay. Hey, Bruce, I just wanted to thank you, by the way. I never got to talk to you again after Amos Memorial, and I really appreciate what you did that day.
Oh, thank you very much.
Except for that little cartoonist dropping F-bombs on Allie Miller didn't sit really
no,
well.
No, it was a little ugly that way.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say this is dovetailing into what happened the other day with the Mr. Huckleberry wanting to lease, doing the $1 lease. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
For the I can't even believe that they're going to take taxpayers' money. I'm all for Catholic Charities and. If they want to lease it at a market value price, beautiful, but just give the people's property away, I don't get it.
Well, what's your opinion on that? So good point on that, Vince. I can't speak for County Administrator Huckleberry or the Pima County Board of Supervisors. There is a humanitarian crisis right now that exists on the border and also here in Tucson. The way that the waves of illegal immigration have occurred, particularly so cruel, including families and children and so on, is just it's unheard of. Congress refuses to fund to take care of the problem and then blames the administration for the problem having occurred. And you know, I'm torn because I don't want anybody to be harmed or you know, somebody who doesn't get the care that they're supposed to have. But on the other hand, you know, you make a point, and it's well taken, that, you know, this is county property, and there ought to be some sort of, you know, value to that particular property.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Allison Jones is here, and Bruce Ash on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Before we take the break, I need to talk about, and I'm glad we are going to talk about it, Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town, Mona's home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve has done such a great job with their now doing a morning breakfast. 6:30, they're open each morning for breakfast. Open right now for lunch. If you want to do breakfast, that's fine. But lunch is great, too, on those breads that they just came out of the oven a few hours ago. My goodness. Allison, have you been up there to Mona's Danish Bakery?
I have not, but I'm going to check it out soon.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Also a link to Mona's and all of the great sponsors at buckmastershow.com. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Allison Jones is here on the Face-Off, her first appearance with us. Appreciate her coming in. And Bruce Ash is here. Mr. Ash, of course, is the host of Inside Track here on 10:30, The Voice, airing Saturday afternoon 1 to 2, and this Saturday is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing.
And our special guest for the entire hour is NASA astronaut, Gemini 4 commander, and Apollo 9 commander, Jim McDivitt. And it is a fabulous interview. He is just a font of information and the inside story of what happened in Project Apollo and since. I think everybody enjoy listening to that show on Saturday.
We started off the Face-Off today talking about this challenge that will be filed concerning the Sanctuary City petition, and Allison shared with us there were some current numbers that valid signatures were about 12,400. Is that what you said, Allison?
Correct.
So what does that mean to the lawsuit, Bruce Ash?
Well, there are two parts to the lawsuit. One is challenging the measurement that was used by the clerk's office, 9,200 versus 12,000 or so signatures. And then secondly, the nature of the passing of these petitions, whether they're done by legal petition followers, or excuse me, petition getters, and also whether or not all the signatures are valid and whether or not they were registered voters and so on and so forth, particularly those inside the city of Tucson. So I think that there is considerable work that's going to be done in the courts here very shortly on this, and I'm confident that this thing's going to get its fair review by a judge, and we'll see what happens.
All right, let's go to the live line. David has called us. David, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, the Republicans were saying that only 40% of the signatures were valid. Well, I don't know where they got that number from, just maybe more fear-mongering, but it was actually over 70%. But I'm not sure exactly what Bruce doesn't agree with in the law. All it says is, you know, if you're arrested or detained, they can determine your citizenship status. But if I'm walking down the street, you know, cops just can't come up to me and say, show me your birth certificate or show me you're a U.S. citizen. And on a personal note, my brother was once detained by the Border Patrol and sent to the facility on Swan at the Davis Mountain because he didn't have any paperwork on him. Now, he's lived here his whole life. And so I'm just curious why Bruce is supportive of a papers, please law.
Of a what law?
David, are you still there? A what law?
I think you said paper police law. Look, that okay. David's supposition just isn't correct. We know antithetically that there's almost no evidence where Border Patrol ICE just walks into neighborhoods and begins rousting people and so on. This has never occurred in Tucson, and frankly, it doesn't exist around the country as well. There's been extreme leniency all across the country, and I think the fear-mongering that goes on is from guys like David, who would like everybody to think that there is fear and mistrust of the federal authorities as well as local authorities. It just isn't the case.
Allison, do you want to weigh in here before see if we can switch topics? Go ahead.
Well, I am hearing a lot of fear and mistrust from folks, and this initiative simply makes law fair treatment of these folks when they are abiding by the law. So that is all we are asking for. And it, as we have seen in many other sanctuary cities, the statistics do show that they are safer places to live for everyone.
Well, I'm glad to see that Mayor Rothschild didn't join the crowd of other Democratic mayors and county officials across the country who are from the Democratic Party, who were giving information on how individuals who were here illegally and could have been subject to arrest and detainment in order to avoid the authorities. This is almost unprecedented in the history of our country.
Do you think it will pass, Allison?
I do think it will pass.
Hmm. And I'll bet you a steak dinner it doesn't.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm a vegetarian.
You're like, but well, okay, the kingfisher. There's lots of good food over there.
Very little time left, but I do want to mention this, and it's been the big story today, that Republican leaders, Bruce Ash, mostly quiet as the president urges four minority congresswomen to leave the country despite the fact that three of them were born in the United States. Are you mostly quiet about this or what?
No, I think the president was right in what he said. I think that when you look at the approval, and there's an Axios story today with a internal poll done for the Democratic Party that shows that these four individuals called the Squad, I'm not sure how they came up with that moniker, but these four individuals, these four members of Congress, have an approval rating at the highest was 18%, some of them in single digits. To say what he did actually echoes what the majority of Americans actually feel about what they're seeing from the Democratic Party today. In that same poll, again, not done for Republicans, done for Democrats, 62% of all the likely voters in the 2020 election said that they were not in favor of the socialism slant that the Democratic Party has taken on, particularly in the last 2 years.
Allison Jones.
Well, these four women were duly elected in their congressional districts by a majority, so I'll start there. And then I'll say that these tweets are embarrassing, unpresidential, racist, and it leads me to believe that the president doesn't even understand that Puerto Rico is part of the U.S. That's kind of a sticky thing there. And, you know, the socialism issue, I get really tired of addressing that, but...
Well, you'll be even more tired before 2020 is over, I assure you of that.
So, I mean, if you believe in fire departments and police departments and the Air Force and Army and Coast Guard, those are socialist activities.
Wow.
Martha McSally has collected a U.S. government paycheck her entire adult life. And those institutions from which she collected those paychecks were government institutions, And that is all socialism is.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty interesting thesis, Allison. I applaud you for coming up with a new one. Look, AOC is not guaranteed that she's even going to get her party's nomination in the upcoming primary in her district in New York. What she did in terms of railing up sentiment against the Amazon headquarters that was going to provide tens of thousands of jobs, billions and billions of dollars in tax money, and the loss to that community that she created because she thinks that she's got this new way of looking, well, I guarantee you, this is not going to stand with the people in her district. She's going to have somebody rise up within her own party to take her on, that's for sure.
That might be true. But, you know, this corporate welfare and tax giveaways, people are getting tired of it, and we're getting tired of it in Arizona, too.
All right, Allison Jones. Thanks, Allison, for coming in. Appreciate it very much. Bruce, always a pleasure.
I'll remind Allison that there actually are laws in our Constitution against corporate giveaways in the state of Arizona, and that was done by Republicans. Thank you. Good to be here.
I would disagree that it's happening because we see an awful lot of it still going on.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk. It's time for our monthly scam alert segment presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Miriam Cruz is with us, the marketing director. Miriam, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great. You had a nice trip up to Halifax, Nova Scotia. It was kind of a North American gathering, I guess, of BBBs, right?
Yeah, it was our yearly gathering of communication professionals where we strategized about, you know, how we're going to communicate all our services and really make an impact. So it was great. The weather was fabulous.
I bet. And I bet the common theme was that scams came up quite a bit during your conversation.
Yeah, you know, they always do. So it's always great to have like a strategy and, you know, resources that we put together to really educate consumers and businesses.
Let's go over some of these common scams that have been targeting small business owners. And right at the top of the list are fake invoices. What's that about?
Right. So when we think of scams, we usually think about consumers. But this time I really wanted to talk about, you know, scams that are targeting small business because we kind of never think about, you know, the small business owner. And the thing that happens with this fake invoice scam is that scammers are looking or hoping that the person that handles the invoicing, handles the payments, will really not pay attention to this fake invoice and just pay it out without doing any research. And when they do send these invoices, they're usually for services that you can't kind of like live without, sort of say. So if you have a website and they're saying that they're going to cancel your website or close down your website if you don't pay immediately, a business owner, you know, will likely pay it now and ask questions later. And that's kind of how they get them. They send this fake invoice, they hope that they pay it, and then it's actually bogus and they don't really have a contract or they really didn't order anything.
Or it could be somebody like that, your office cleaning service saying you've not paid, so we're going to stop cleaning your office.
Right.
And if you've got a small business, that's a big deal.
Exactly. So, but take some time, look at, you know, those invoices to make sure that they're for actual services or products that you've ordered.
Speaking of products, and I suppose, well, I know that every small business needs office supplies, but sometimes you may be getting some things that you didn't order.
Exactly. So sometimes, you know, we get those calls of a salesperson offering, you know, new products and saying, hey, let me send you a free catalog of our products and maybe even a sample item. And, you know, you say yes because you're always looking for, you know, to ways to save money or try mm-hmm. new products. Well, the surprise is that usually a box ends up in your front door, products that you did not order. And then you get this call from the company saying, hey, please pay us for the products that we sent you. And you're like, wait a minute, I have the recorded call and I never agreed to these products. And they're saying, no, you did agree and now you're liable for the products that we sent you. And just so you know, if this does happen to you, keep in mind that you have the legal right to keep anything that you did not order that happens to show up at your doorstep.
Really?
Yes. So if someone sends you something, a box of stuff mm-hmm. and you didn't order for it, guess what? You get to keep it. And the ones that are out of luck are the scammers.
But they're trying to say that you said yes, that they have this recording. What should you do in that case?
Well, usually, I mean, you know exactly, you know, who you talk to.
Yeah.
In that case, they, you know, I never ordered it. I'm more than happy to return the items, you yeah. know, to you. But just so you know, I know that I have the legal right to keep this, even though I didn't order it. So you're welcome to come and get it. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, ship it back if you want to cover the shipping costs. But I stand by what you know and trust your staff as well.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to the point when I have scammers call and I know it's a scam and they want me to say it. They'll say, is this Mr. Buckmaster? And I'm very careful before I say the word yes, because those things can be recorded. So I've just, that's sort of a little bit off topic, but I'm kind of careful about maybe not saying yes right away.
That's a great example. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's true. Some of them, you know, they can be used
sure.
out of context.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So also another scam, trying to get you into a listing, right? Whether it be the Yellow Page. They kind of pretend they're from the Yellow Pages or something else like that.
Yeah, a lot of people. Well, scammers pretend to be, or they even make up their own directory sometimes. Hey, we have this directory online. And they'll tell you all these stats about they get so many hits and so many people, you know, go to that website to list your business. And sometimes they even offer to list your business for free in this directory. And you're like, yeah, why wouldn't I list it for free? You know, free stuff is always good.
Yeah. So if you get that kind of a listing, or somebody wants to do the free listing, that's kind of a red flag.
Yeah, I would say, yes, free stuff is good, but always do your research. Research the directory, research the company, and make sure that it's not a scam. A quick Google search, you know, with the name of the company will let you know if other consumers, other businesses have reported that incident.
Here's another one. Somebody calling saying, we're going to turn off your power to your small business unless you pay immediately. So that, you know, that kind of gets you going.
That's a scary one, because obviously you you don't want your
especially
water or your
time of year with the AC going
yes.
off. Yeah.
So definitely hang up and say, you know, thank you for letting me know. Hang up, look for the legitimate number for the utility company, and make sure to call them to make sure that everything is okay with your business.
And one of the very popular ones now are the government agencies who are doing the imposter scams, whether it be people saying they're from the IRS, or I guess with a small business, they could say they're from the Department of Labor and we've got a problem with your business. I mean, it could be anything, I guess.
It could actually be anything. And like, you didn't pay your taxes.
Yes.
You didn't renew your business license. You know, we're going to fine you if you don't pay right away. But the trick here is, if someone is calling and threatening you and kind of making you take or making you pay at that time, that's a red flag, because the government agencies will kind of work with you if you do have that kind of problem, so they can work out a payment plan and all that great stuff.
Here's one I hate, the tech support scam. This can pop up on your computer saying that you've got a problem with your computer security. What do you do in a case like that, Miriam Cruz?
Yeah, definitely make sure that you have virus protection on all your computers, and be careful with the links that you click on. Do not open any email messages, or do not click on any links from, you know, emails that people that you don't know, just because once you do that, they can take over your computer and kind of say, hey, if you don't pay this, you know, ransom, we're not going to release your computer and your files. And they will delete them, and they will not release them if that happens to be the case. That's why it's very important not to click on those things to start with, so you don't fall victim to the scam.
Sometimes it is hard to get those pop-up messages that come up off your screen. I've actually had to do a hard shutdown sometimes to get that stuff off. And then when I log back in, it's gone, thank goodness. But it's really a nuisance.
Yeah, and that's a really good example. Yeah, if you have any suspicion, or if it freezes for whatever reason, shut it off.
Shut it down before
the scammers get the chance to kind of ask for money.
And then you've got these online reviews that you've got scammers saying that they can replace negative reviews of your product.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you, they're very creative. Yeah, so they'll say, hey, we can boost your online ratings, you know, by purchasing good reviews or by removing all these negative reviews. But just know that there are guidelines there from the Federal Trade Commission. And what they say is that all reviews must reflect the honest opinions and experiences of the endorser. So
sure.
don't fall for those scams. Don't pay for positive reviews. I mean, just avoid that altogether and follow ethical business practices.
Let's talk about what you can do to train your employees so they understand that these issues are out there.
So the best thing to do is make them aware of all these scams that they're out there, and that if they ever feel like they might have received a scam through email or a phone call or anything like that, to take a second and, you know, let you know, but also talk to other employees, because sometimes they target more than one person in an organization. So if they share that they received this fake invoice or this, you know, fake phone call, it is best to share with everyone else so nobody falls for a scam.
So verify certainly all of the invoices and payments, and be very careful about kind of these wire transfers or these reloadable cards, the gift cards, because that's a scam.
Exactly. Usually scammers use gift cards, wire transfers, and lately, if you use Venmo or Zelle, be careful, because a lot of scammers will ask for payment that way, and those apps don't have protections because they're not meant to use for merchant processing. Those are meant to be used with your friends and family only. So if you don't send money to anyone you don't know through those apps.
You know, and be a little bit cautious, Miriam, about caller ID.
Yes, because you can, and scammers can make any number, any name appear on that caller ID. So
and
really
they make
don't
it,
trust it.
You know, I've noticed some of these scams, and I'm still, I guess, even though I'm on that federal no-call registry, I get them all the time. Even the number that pops up is a 577. If that is my number, they've got that too. So you think, well, oh, this is somebody like up here in Tucson.
Yeah, yeah. And the
and
bad
it turns
thing,
out they're in India or somewhere.
Yeah. So the good thing about the do not call list is that it prevents telemarketers from not reaching you, but scammers don't follow rules.
No,
so.
No. All right. The BBB networking mixer, you've got one coming up, I think, tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night we're going to be at Dave & Buster's from 5 to 7 p.m. It is our monthly networking mixer. This month's sponsor is Ultra Air Conditioning. And thanks to them, this is a no-cost event. So please join us. It's a lot of fun. 60 to 100 people join us every month, and we'll have free game cards at this event. So food, great contacts, and a great time.
And again, the venue?
Dave & Buster's.
All right. From 5 to 7, the networking event this month for the BBB. Miriam Cruz from the BBB, always a pleasure. And again, the website for more information is
BBB.org.
There you go. Easy to remember. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank
Have a great
you.
Week.
You too.
All right. Buckmaster Show moving on at 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news talk. We'll be right back. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This is the big week over in Silver City for their Clay Festival. As you might imagine, as the name implies, clay and pottery go together, right? The festival is a big deal in Silver City. Hands-on workshops, exhibits, tours, a gallery night, and the Clay Fest Market. Silver City Clay Festival this week in Silver City. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org, the place for all the listings of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. Additional support comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13 16-acre site filled with all the plants that you could imagine, and now they are home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. More at greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now Joseph Morgan. Joseph is a candidate for Congressional District 2 here in Southern Arizona. Joseph, how are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Bill. Always a pleasure to be here.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to run. This is your first run for political office, but it's not your first visit, as they say, to the rodeo as far as political organizing and working with candidates.
Yeah, no, I've been doing that actually since I was in my 20s, so almost 20 years working behind the scenes. And in my later years, I was doing a lot of ghostwriting and helping out with campaign things behind the scenes with a lot of people. But the major reason why I decided to jump in last year was having been somebody that's been a part of this community in Tucson my entire life, born and raised here, we became bluer than we've ever been. And now I've been a lifelong Republican, and I'm not a party person per se. I just agree with the Republican platform, and I am a conservative. And the problem that I've had being and living under, I will say, a Democrat rule, is that we haven't gotten anything for it. And we have a lot of progressive people and on the national scale, they continue to push progressive ideas, as they call them, which are more government, more government, more government. And government has not ever really helped anybody. It doesn't. In fact, the more government we see, the more problems we have. And then what's their solution? More government to fix the problems that government created. And so living under that right here, just economically, I've seen a lot of my friends, they leave Tucson. There's no opportunities here. I see the high poverty rates here, that's coupled with the high crime rates here in the Tucson greater area. This is what I've been living in. And my life has been dedicated to community service. And I didn't ever pursue just making money or any of the rest of that stuff. And so along with working in political campaigns, I've been working in my community, in prisons and homeless shelters and nursing homes. And one of the thing that I see that is missing, and this also goes on the Republican side, but ideologically I'm aligned with them, is we don't have public servants. And that's one of the reasons why government is so broken. We don't have people who really see it, for the most part, who really see it as, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to serve the people, and I'm going to serve them with ideas that actually work. And you only get that way by talking economically, by talking to the business interests, by talking to the people and getting them and say, what are the solutions for how can we develop job growth? How can we do things, as opposed to saying, I've got the solution, hire me, I'm going to go sit in the seat of government and government's going to do it, because that doesn't work. It never has worked. And all it actually does is it makes us poorer, and it actually leads to even greater problems. And so that's one of the motivating factors why I said, you know, I'm going to jump into this race, because I do know a lot about a lot of issues, and I continue to educate myself. And I love talking to people, especially people who don't agree with me, because I want their perspective. Because if we're going to live together as community, then we have to be willing to talk to one another and go hand in hand to trying to get better jobs here in the Congressional District 2. But again, I was raised here in the Tucson greater area, but that extends into into Congressional District 2, down Sierra Vista, Cochise, all of Cochise County, those smaller communities, Douglas and Bisbee, these border countries who, they're suffering as well. There are solutions that are out there, and that's where leadership comes in, and it's so missing. And we've got to have that. And so I said to myself, I never wanted to be as far as politics, as far as being the politician. But having seen all these failed efforts helping candidates behind the scenes, I said, you know what? I can do this, and I'm going to do this. And so that's why I decided to do this.
And what do you think about the migrant situation and this current dust up about the raids that they weren't, I guess, didn't materialize as much as folks had said they would this weekend. But that and then this whole dust up about the president's with his tweets about those four minority congressmen, mm-hmm. Who he urged to leave the country, things like that. How do you view all of that?
Well, first, with regards to the raids, uh-huh. that are being called, it's not surprising to me that they didn't materialize to the extent that everybody was saying they were going to, simply because they're not meant to. The mainstream media and the Democrat Party in particular were pushing a wanton lie, all right? The people that have been targeted, which is a list of over a million people that are on there, these are people who've been processed. So they've had their day in court, and they have been asked to leave the country because they didn't fall under the proper guidelines to claim asylum. And they've refused. And there's lots of people over the years that have fallen under that category, and they just have refused to leave this country. So they are in open a violation of our laws. And ICE, that's their job, is to deport these individuals who have already had their day in court, and then along with the criminal element, those who have been, you know, committing, you know, murder and other kind of stuff, they're supposed to do that. And so when like Ann Kirkpatrick gets on video and gives people instructions about ICE and implies that ICE is just going to go out and round up anybody with dark skin, that's a lie. It's willfully done. The ACLU is a part of that. The mainstream media pushed that narrative. So yes, but they did have some raids, targeted raids this weekend, and I have no problem with that because that's the job of ICE, and it is the job of elected representatives like Ms. Kirkpatrick to support that. And if you don't like those laws, then vote for that change. But they're not doing that. They're coming out and making it seem like they're just out there to target all these people who are just in this country waiting patiently for the courts, and ICE is just going out and rounding up any and all people. That's not true. Now, to the tweet thing, I saw it, and I've been following this controversy. The problem that I have about that, Bill, is that I wish the media and everybody else would stop focusing on his tweets. His tweets are totally unpresidential, in my opinion, for the vast majority of what comes out of that Twitter verse by President Trump. That being said, they're the ones that have made this issue about race and color. He never even mentioned those in that particular tweet. And I hate having to act like I'm defending this man, but I mean, here's a quote, and I brought it in. Ayanna Pressley, one of those four congresswoman, she actually said this just the other day. We don't need brown faces not advocating for brown people. We don't need black faces not advocating for blacks. We don't need Muslim faces not advocating for Muslims. And we don't need queers not advocating for queers. What does she mean by that? These are the people that are putting everybody into these different baskets and saying, if you're this, you have to think this way. You have to do this. You have to say that. That is nonsense. America is all about our, yes, diversity, but diversity of opinions as well. And we find ourselves because of how we're raised and how we feel in all sorts of different baskets, and we have all sorts of different political alliances thereon too. So it is they who are bringing up the color and race issues. He never did. Yes, he said a stupid thing in my opinion, and that's the problem. They want to focus on that, but they don't want to talk about the gentleman who died while throwing Molotov cocktails at an ICE station up in the state of Washington. They don't want to have a discussion about what happened in Colorado again because of the fear mongering they put forward in Colorado at that ICE station again, where they took down and desecrated an American flag and raised a Mexican flag. These are the issues. If you're going to talk about them on a national level, let's talk about that. Let's stop talking about President Trump's ridiculous tweets. Because yes, most people will agree, and I knock on doors every day, Bill, most Republicans who are going to vote for him, by the way, they don't like his twittering. They hate it. They think it's stupid. They tell me this, but they love the man's policies, and they love the fact that he seems to be defending this country when these other people don't even seem to care, or worse, are actually aiding and abetting a criminal activity. In the case of what happened over the weekend with the ICE thing and them telling people, reading notes, how they can stop ICE from doing their job. That's the stuff that needs to happen. But for me, when you say, do I care about this? I didn't even talk about it on Twitter or Facebook. I'm talking about the issues that affect us. I'm talking about the fact that here in the Tucson greater area, we have a 25% poverty rate. We have a median household income that is $13,000 below the average median household income of the rest of the state of Arizona. Sierra Vista had a negative 0.9% growth rate economic growth development rate last year. This is the stuff that I'm concerned about, and I'd like us to have those kind of discussions, not just here in Congressional District 2, but nationally as well, because I really don't care what President Trump is tweeting.
You've raised now how much money for your campaign already?
We've actually raised over $16,000 now. Mm-hmm. As of last quarter, it was $15,000, but we've already been continuing to raise
and
money.
And your signatures?
We have a little over 1,100 on hand. You need 1,271 to be qualified for the ballot. So, I mean, we're well on our way to being qualified for the ballot because we're working every single day. We've got a great team of volunteers, and a lot of people are getting on board because of this message. It's a message of we've got to have not just change for change's sake, change that actually will affect the lives of the people of Congressional District 2 in a positive manner.
All right, Joseph Morgan, where can people find out more about you? Want to talk about your website?
Yeah, josephmorganforcongress.com. That's Joseph Morgan, the number four, congress.com. And then you can follow me on Facebook, Joseph Morgan for Congress again. That's at Joseph Morgan, the number four, Congress. And fairly soon we will have a Twitter and an Instagram as well, but we're still working on that kind of stuff.
Is this kind of what you thought, running for office the first time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is everything I anticipated, because having done this behind the scenes and seen it up close and personal, nothing has surprised me. Even some of the meaningless, petty attacks that I'm getting from some of my opponents, it's kind of funny.
All right. Joseph Morgan, good to see you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Joseph Morgan and John Couch on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04 on The Buckmaster Show. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.